A couple of Thursdays ago, a group of us from the church went to see the film The Christmas Candle at the theatre. And as I watched that film, there was one scene that really touched me. It concerned a young boy who so wanted to be a preacher. But unfortunately, he was unable to speak. He'd been unable to speak since his parents had died in a tragic accident. He couldn't utter a word. Yet that Christmas time, he was one of those who was given a candle. And with that candle, he prayed. He prayed, as many others had, for a personal miracle. Then on Christmas Eve, the church community gathered in their little church and they began to talk about what was happening in their midst. And they were quite surprised when this young man stood forward and started to talk. And he talked about the Lord's goodness to him. And he mentioned his joy. His joy at being able to share with them that evening his favourite verse. And a verse that is recorded in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. And a verse that says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Now, although that is a fictional story, I found the faith behind that declaration to be very moving. Because it is a faith statement. A faith statement that we have a God to whom nothing is impossible. And this truth, well, this truth is a major part of the Christmas story. For those were the words that were spoken to Mary by the angel of the Lord. And they are contained in that part of Scripture, that part of Luke's Gospel that we read from this morning. In the Christmas story, Mary is presented as a young woman, quite a young woman, a young virgin, who has been promised in marriage to Joseph. He's the carpenter, a position of some status in the village. It is believed that he was an older man. And of course, that was not unusual in their culture. Indeed, in many cultures today, it is still a regular happening that a young girl is married to an older man. Mary lived in a rather unimportant village in Galilee, which was itself a rather lesser part, seen by many anyhow, of the whole state of Israel. And living in that village, she no doubt had fairly low expectations about her future. She would marry, she knew that, was already arranged. She would no doubt have quite a number of children, and she would live out her days in Nazareth, just like many of the other girls, her friends of similar age and status. She had no reason to believe that she was special, or that her life would count for anything spectacular. Then one day, God sent his angel, Gabriel, with the most surprising message for her that was preceded by a very alarming greeting. Luke 1, verse 28 says that the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." And what we read in the very next verse is that she was greatly troubled when she heard that. Not by the appearance of the angel, although I would imagine she was pretty well frightened by the appearance of an angel, but by his words. Look at verse 29 that follows. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I've no doubt that she would never have had such words said about her in her life. I'm pretty sure no one would ever have told her that she was a highly favoured person, a highly blessed person, a highly thought of person. But here we have the angel of God doing just that, telling her how God saw her. And something else, telling her that indeed God was with her. Yeah, it reminded me of the story in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, about a man whose name was Gideon. You might remember the story of Gideon. An angel appeared to Gideon too, an angel of the Lord, and addressed him as a mighty warrior. Judges 6:12. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And Gideon too, it seems, as we read the story, was a little bit distressed what God wanted him to do, but also about the angel's description of him. Because Gideon saw himself as so different to what God saw him. Indeed, we have Gideon saying to the angel in verse 15, "Pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." You know what? In human terms, Gideon no doubt got it right. His self-assessment, like Mary's self-assessment, was probably pretty correct. But God saw Gideon and Mary in a different way. And one of the major reasons that God saw Mary and God saw Gideon in a different way was because he was with them. Know how that phrase was addressed to them both? If you read your participator today, you'll find, surprisingly enough, it's what John's been talking about. I didn't know that when I wrote this. That divine echo is the factor that makes all the difference for all of us. Whenever God calls a person to follow him, calls them to become a Christian, to become one who commits their lives to him, to receive his forgiveness, but not just that, his purpose for their life, now and eternity. And whenever God lays upon one of his people something they want, that he wants them to do, whether it's big or whether it's small, when he asks you to stand in your workplace and say, "I'm a Christian." When he asks you to invite that person along. When he asks you to make amends with that other person. When he asks you to serve him in some ministry in the church. Whenever he does that, he always takes into account the fact that you will never be alone. He will be with you. Do you realise he thought of that before he asked you that? Do you realise that God thought of that before he called you to become a Christian? And he will never leave you. And therefore, you should never fear that you might be unsuitable for what God wants you to do, underqualified, inadequate. God chose you. He chose me. Why? Because he will be with us. Isn't that amazing? Well, for Mary, there was indeed a task that he wanted her to do. And it was a huge task. And one that she, as a virgin who had never slept with a man, had every right to believe herself unqualified. For you see, the task was that she was to give birth to a son. And she would call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And these facts, and much, much more, the angel told her about this child. And I think that as the angel was speaking, it all became too much for Mary. And I sense she may even have interrupted the angel when she blurted out in verse 34,
How will this be, since I am a virgin? I wonder how many times when the Lord has had a task for us to do and he's told us about it and we've turned to him and said, how can this be since I am or I am not? What's Mary doing here? And then, just right then, the angel told her about the power of the overshadowing of God. And that the baby who was to be born would be the Son of God. And then, as though he knew she needed something firm to hold on to know that this she could do this, he told her about her old relative, Elizabeth, who was barren still after all those years, or so they thought. And he said, do you know what? She's 6 months pregnant. And then, right then, the angel spoke the words to her that gave such hope to that young boy in that film. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary took those words to heart. She did. And her response was in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I like the way J.B. Phillips puts it in what is probably still the best paraphrase. I belong to the Lord, body and soul. Let it happen as you say. That's it, isn't it? Okay, God, I'm yours. Totally, completely. I don't quite know how you're going to do it. And I'm really not even sure you've got the right person. But you want me, you're with me, let it go. Let it happen to me as you said. You know, I look at that story. That was exactly the response God wanted, wasn't it? Nothing less, nothing more, just that. A total surrender to God's will, despite how impossible it seemed. Why? Because the angel had told her, and you know what? He should know, he's an angel, that with God, with her, nothing he willed through her was impossible. And I want you to notice that statement was not made by a human being to a human being. It was made by an angel who sat at the very feet of God to a human being. And that's why we should not doubt it. Indeed, the only other person to make this same statement, and he did it twice, once slightly different, was Jesus. He said these verses too. He said it particularly once about if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, because nothing is impossible to God. Jesus, God become man, so he should know, said this. And Jesus said it to his disciples, to those who had chosen to follow him, to those who today we would call Christians. And he says it to you, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've thrown in your lot with Jesus, if you've accepted him as your Saviour, received the forgiveness he gives, he says it to you. And if you haven't yet, but you sense God calling you to make a commitment to be his, sense him drawing to you, then he says it to you as well. To God, nothing is impossible, and God is with you. That doesn't mean that God has locked himself into doing everything that we think he should. Doesn't mean that we can say, well, God can do anything, so I claim you do this for me, God, or I claim that you do that for me, God. That's not the way God works. God retains control. He is God. We're not. And his ways are not our ways. And neither does it mean that we will always understand and appreciate the way God goes about doing the impossible in us. It won't always be easy and pleasant. Mary didn't find it easy and pleasant. In fact, Mary had a couple of times there where she had a couple of meltdowns. And once she wanted Jesus back home. Stop this kind of business you're into. But she stuck with it. Why? Because God was with her. And God did the impossible in her as well as through her. That is a wonderful thing to understand. And God will do the impossible in us. You see, it does mean that whatever situation you are in at the moment, whatever pain and sorrow you're dealing with, whatever task you're concerned about, whatever fears you're wrestling with, as a believer, be assured the God of the impossible is with you. And he has plans for you and for that situation. And those plans, if you were to see them in all their fullness, you would think, that's impossible. That's often why he doesn't tell us ahead. God will do them. But he wants from you the complete trust that he got from Mary. And that won't be easy. It is never easy. It's never going to be easy to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. He would need to be with us. If it was, would he? Because you see, God deals in a different time frame to what we have. But it's the only way forward for each believer to trust completely. If we hold back our trust and obedience, then we stagnate in our Christian faith, and that's the best. Mainly we drift backwards in our faith. But when we trust in the Lord Jesus, despite our pain, trust despite the suffering, when we push on despite our fears, when we persevere despite the failings that we see in us and in those around us, we will discover God is always with us. And that in the end, it is only through our obedience and our obedient walk with him that we discover the fullness of joy that is prepared for us.